Welcome to The Weekend Forum, a production of KIOS. This series explores the significant topics and issues of our region with leaders, thinkers, and influencers from around Omaha and throughout Nebraska. The event was recorded live at the Omaha Press Club and has been edited for time. And now, on to the presentation.
But I'm sure he's got lots to tell us about how things are operating within the county and protecting us all. Sheriff Aaron Hansen.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation, Mike. I mean, this, number one, it's a beautiful venue. I've been up here a few times at the press club, and you can't beat it. I do think we are going to have to get a membership here because this would be a great place to have our executive team lunches now and then. Again, thank you very much, members of the press club, for having me. It's a beautiful venue, always proud and happy to talk about my agency now, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. For those of you who don't know me, a little bit about me, I spent 26 and a half years with the Omaha Police Department. Many of those years as an officer and a sergeant, spent a long time on the canine unit, interstate drug interdiction, criminal interdiction on the interstate, spent some years on the in the Criminal Investigative Bureau Special Operations Section as a supervisor over multiple gang units and ultimately the fugitive unit. I spent 6 years as president of the Omaha Police Officer Association during some pretty tumultuous times. They were fun. They taught me a lot about how to be resilient in the face of controversy. Those were challenging times. I know we got the wife, the significant other of a police officer here, who was in the Omaha Police Department during those times, and those were challenging times for sure. But it really, those experiences, both in my time with the Omaha Police Department, my time as the executive of the Omaha Police Officer Association, really helped prepare me for this new challenge. And I got to tell you, I really love the job as sheriff, because as a 26 and a half year municipal police officer who always knew there was a sheriff's department, always understood there was a different agency called the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. They looked different than us, wore different uniforms, they did different things, worked different parts of town. I never really truly understood the intricacies of what really separates a sheriff's office from a local police department. And I think that'll be an interesting thing for us to talk about today, because I get that question a lot. What is different between the Omaha Police Department and the Douglas County Sheriff's Office? Well, first of all, if you think about it, across the nation, when people think police executives, you typically think a state patrol colonel, you typically think a police chief, you typically think of a sheriff. Of those three, the only police executive across the nation and locally that is accountable directly to the public are sheriffs. And so what does that mean? Police chiefs, colonels, you know, they have different challenges than sheriffs. They have multiple bosses, whether it's a state legislature, governor, mayor, city council. And that's a great relationship, because those are typically appointed law enforcement executive positions. But because sheriffs are selected by the people, 50% plus one or more of the people, that creates a natural relationship where sheriffs and sheriff's offices, in my opinion, have to be that much more in touch with the public that they serve. That's unique. That's important, especially when it comes to public safety issues and public policy issues. Why is it important? Quite frankly, there are topics that sheriffs can and should discuss which are more difficult for an appointed police chief to discuss. That's a reality. And that's okay. That's why we have sheriffs. So that the people know that they have a law enforcement agency and a law enforcement executive that is directly accountable to them. They are the boss of the sheriff with nobody in between. I think that's unique, especially as a career law enforcement officer, and I think it's a very positive aspect to sheriff's offices. Nothing against municipal police departments, but I think that's valuable. Number two, what sets a sheriff's office apart from your typical law enforcement agency? Sheriff's offices are that physical arm of our criminal justice system or our civil court system. The judges who wear the black robes on the bench can give lawful orders. They can give court orders all day long. If there is no entity to physically go and enforce those orders, then our rule of law is only as good as the paper that it's written on. And so that unique relationship between a sheriff's office and the judicial branch, the bench, the judges, whether it be juvenile court, district court, county court, probation, civil court, without those sheriff's deputies being ready and able physically and by law to enforce those court orders, we would not enjoy the civil society that we do today. And so again, those are two unique aspects to a sheriff's office. And in order to understand really how the sheriff's office works, best thing I can do is introduce you one by one to my leadership team. First, I'm going to introduce you to my two chiefs. Now, historically, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office has a sheriff and one chief deputy. And that one chief deputy had to be a jack of all trades. They had to be the internal affairs guru, the compliance guru, the budget guru, the operations guru. I mean, it was a lot. And so when I took office in January 2023, I took a good hard look at it. I looked at my peers out there across the Midwest, and I realized that the most innovative, effective sheriffs were bifurcating their roles. And so I'm going to introduce two gentlemen. They're important parts of the team. First, my chief deputy over administration, William Wren. He is a long-standing command officer and professional in the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. He is my chief deputy of administration. So he handles budget. He handles compliance. He handles internal affairs. He handles training. He handles interface with other government entities, whether it be local government, state government, federal government. He handles all of those very important administrative matters, which, although it's not as sexy as kicking in a door or chasing after fugitives, you have to have that in order to run a professional and efficient organization. And he does it very well. His staff is very adept at what they do, and he does a great job at it. And the fact that Chief Deputy Wren does that job so well gives my other chief deputy, William Nemock, who is my chief deputy over operations, raise your hand right there, Chief Nemock. That allows Chief Nemock the ability to focus 100% on operations. Road Patrol, Uniform Services Bureau, Court Services Bureau, Criminal Investigative Bureau. The bifurcation of those roles, in my opinion, has been very, very successful and valuable, because it allows those two chief deputies to work with each other to find out, what do we need operationally to be successful? What are the budgetary realities or constraints that will help us be successful or that we need to overcome? It's a great team effort between the three of us, and I truly appreciate them. On the operations side, we've got Captain Rich Lally right here in the uniform. He is the captain over our Uniform Services Bureau. And that is a bureau in which we've seen a lot of growth in our office, a lot of diversification. So what people don't realize about a sheriff's office is, similar to the state patrol having statewide jurisdiction all across the state, regardless of the individual government subdivisions, whether they be county, city, township, similar to the state patrol, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office has county-wide jurisdiction. So from the Missouri River to the Elkhorn to the Platte River, from Dutch Hall Road to the north to Harrison Street to the south, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office has county-wide jurisdiction. Now, does that mean that we charge our way into the city of Omaha and try to take over their homicide investigations or robbery investigations? Of course not. Those local municipalities, those local incorporated municipalities, have their own police departments. And we have the cadence built in where Omaha Police Department will be the initial first responder to a crime in progress in the city of Omaha. And they will also have the initial obligation for criminal investigative follow-up. But because we have countywide jurisdiction, that allows the sheriff's office to be able to assist, or if there is a constituent in need of public safety services, of which the local law enforcement agency, the local municipality, either has challenges in addressing, we can step in anywhere in the county to assist. But when you look at the part of the county that our Uniformed Services Bureau has direct responsibility for first line of response, unincorporated Douglas County, specifically that 3-mile swath, I mean, it's all the way across to the river, and obviously not all within that 3-mile development zone outside the city of Omaha planning zone section, but that is the fastest growing area of Douglas County, the fastest growing area in the Omaha metro area. That is the area that Omaha will eventually become and grow to once those various SIDs have their debt ratio paid down to the extent that Omaha can annex them. Oftentimes that takes 2 to 3 decades. And so who handles the initial calls for service in those crucial areas of development? It's the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. Right now, the amount of population that we have in unincorporated Douglas County is roughly 90,000 people. And if you can imagine, if you take the county and you cut it from the top corner, Dutch Hall Road at the Missouri River, down to the bottom quarter of Elkhorn River, down to Harrison Street, that top quadrant is primarily going to be unincorporated Douglas County. That bottom quadrant is going to be city of Omaha. It's a large area. And if you took those 90,000 people, that's a pretty condensed area of population, and if you said, okay, what if this was a city in Nebraska? It'd be the third biggest city in Nebraska, behind Omaha and Lincoln. It'd be between Lincoln and Bellevue in population. That's exactly why we always have to be cognizant of the value of the sheriff's office, because there's a lot of people, a lot of development in that unincorporated area of the county who rely on the sheriff's office to be that initial first responder in their time of need. But it's not only about those 911 calls, it's also about disrupting the unique theft challenges that we are facing in that area as well. 2 weeks ago, we had an $85,000 piece of construction equipment stolen off of 204th and Q. We have a very unique type of theft and burglary that occurs in unincorporated Douglas County that does not necessarily occur in Omaha, because the individuals who predate on those construction areas, they know they're going for those big-ticket items. They're not breaking into businesses and stealing maybe $500 at a time. They're stealing $100,000 worth of tools and equipment in a trailer at a time. They're stealing huge John Deere earth movers at one time. And so it's important that we make sure that the Sheriff's Office, especially our Uniformed Services Bureau, is up to task. Within the Uniformed Services Bureau, we've created a new team, which is called the Community Action Team. When I was sworn into office, we had conversations with our command staff, and we had a lot of requests from the public. Hey, we have quality of life challenges that need to be addressed. Drag racers, reckless drivers, hit and run drivers, petty theft, even homeless camp challenges. And because our traditional road patrol was so busy responding to calls for service, it made it very difficult for them to focus in on those quality of life issues that really matter so much to people, not only in unincorporated Douglas County, but across our county. So thanks to the creative leadership of Chief Nemoc, we created the Community Action Team. It's a day shift team. Right now it's a sergeant and a deputy. We hope to grow it. And an evening team of a sergeant and a deputy. And their job is multifaceted. That sergeant can be available to be that road level supervisor when the traditional road patrol sergeant or lieutenant is unavailable. And I can tell you in 2024, that's vital. With the high liability cases and the high profile controversies that we've seen law enforcement become embroiled in, having that command presence spread around as much as we can is very important. It's important for accountability. It's important for professionalism. But it's that mobile, flexible, problem-solving team that the Community Action Team has become that really makes them valuable. And what I like is the fact that one day they may be working a chronic speeding problem outside Valley, and the next day they may be down at 84th and Grover dealing with a quality of life issue in the city of Omaha. People value that. And when our partners in the Omaha Police Department are nearly 100 officers down, and while they're 100 officers down, they've had to find a way to still be one of the best in the nation with violent crime reduction and violent crime intervention and violent crime suppression and investigation, I'm proud that the Douglas County Sheriff's Office can help complement them on those quality of life issues that people value so much. We're a great partnership. So moving on from Uniformed Services Bureau comes the Criminal Investigations Bureau, and that's Captain Eric Sellers right here. We've also seen innovation in the Criminal Investigations Bureau, again, thanks in large part to the creative leadership of Chief Deputy Nemoc. Over the last year and 4 months, we've had to specialize our criminal investigative division into a person crime and a property crime half. So we've had to separate those detectives out, half of them specializing in property crimes, half of them specializing in crimes against persons, each of them now commanded by a sergeant, one of which is a property crime sergeant, one of which is a person crime sergeant. Why is that important? You might be surprised to learn we've had a 400% increase in homicide investigations in unincorporated Douglas County over the last year. The challenges that many times are faced by people in Omaha do have bleed over effects into the areas surrounding Omaha proper. When a dead body is dumped in Douglas County, unincorporated Douglas County, even if the homicide occurred in Omaha, my agency takes the lead. And we've had many of those cases recently. Very complex cases, and thanks to Captain Sellers' leadership and the specialization he's created in the Criminal Investigatives Bureau, our clearance rate, I think, is 100% at this point on all of these very complex homicides that we've had. But we know there also has to be a proactive aspect to Criminal Investigative Bureau, and so in addition to our traditional criminal investigators, we created what's called the Special Operations Group. And the Special Operations Group is the first full-time SWAT team in the region. Why is that important? I think it's you rarely go a month anymore without hearing about an active shooter situation in our nation. And so being able to have a dedicated group of five SWAT team investigators commanded by a SWAT command officer sergeant working as a team, ready to respond to those critical violence cases is important, now more than ever. But also the fact that I have a plainclothes team of specialized SWAT operators at our disposal means that Captain Sellers can deploy them to do surveillance. Who do we think is going to cause violence next? Who can we help both internally or externally of our agency to help prevent violence. This team is designed to assist probation, parole, federal supervised release, juvenile probation, Douglas County Youth Center's home supervision program. They've been designed specifically to help partners with those high-risk repeat offenders who we know have the highest chance of reoffending in our community and inflicting violence or harm on innocent people. What they also do is specialize in cartel investigations. And I can tell you that the amount of methamphetamine and fentanyl that they have been seizing lately off our streets from our communities, specifically connected to drug cartel groups, is staggering. And it's a real challenge. But having this group, this flexible group of SWAT professionals, has really allowed us to put a dent in this cartel behavior and ultimately help reduce violent crime across our entire county. Also currently under the Criminal Investigative Bureau is our canine interdiction team. That's the group that is out there on the interstates trying to intercept the drugs when they come in. We actually are going to repurpose them and assign them back under Uniformed Services Bureau so they can be more of a local crime-fighting force multiplier for Road Patrol. Doing that criminal interdiction that they do so well, not only on the interstate, but across our county to disrupt violent crime or repeat property crime. And then finally, our third bureau is our Court Services Bureau. I would say if you look at our staff, we're budgeted for about 151 deputies. We have approximately 250 total staff in the sheriff's office between sworn and civilian. Roughly half of our staff is dedicated towards our Court Services Bureau, which is commanded by Captain Chris Peterson right there. These are the men and women who protect our courthouse, both sworn deputies and uniformed security officers. Our sworn deputies perform such functions in our Court Services Bureau as either doing direct security for our judges and for our courtrooms, but also these are the individuals who are going out into the streets in order to find wanted parties, find wanted fugitives, to be able to enforce those court orders or those warrants. Also working under Captain Peterson's bureau are the individuals and professionals that deal with civil process or civil proceeds or replevins or tax collection. Again, that physical arm of the government to ensure that we have a safe, civil, well-running society. Also under the Court Services Bureau are the uniformed security professionals who work the front doors at the courthouse of the city-county building, keeping guns and weapons out of our city council meetings, out of our county board meetings, out of our courtrooms. They've been very successful lately. You might have seen on the news. They've intercepted multiple guns and weapons recently. So it's a very unique team of professionals. They all do a fantastic job, and I can tell you, especially as a 26-and-a-half-year law enforcement veteran before I came to this job, now in my 28th year, seeing such a professional, dedicated group of deputies working under one sheriff's office, it's not only an honor to work alongside them, but I'm very impressed in the work that they do. And as we move forward, you're going to continue to see that innovation and that growth in the sheriff's office to meet the needs not only of our courts, but meet the needs of the public all across the county. Mike, I don't know if you open it up in any question and answer sessions, but I'd be happy to take any questions you may have. Sure. The question was, in case for the replay, if people couldn't hear it, how many organized criminal entities are there operating in Douglas County? You know, Fletcher, I don't know if we can put an actual number on it. I can tell you that the Omaha Police Department does a good job of keeping track of the number of documented street gangs that are in the Omaha metro area. Street gangs do not include the number of potential motorcycle gangs or outlaw motorcycle gangs that are in the city of Omaha. Street gangs would not include the various drug cartels that operate in the city of Omaha, nor the drug-fueled theft groups that operate in the city of Omaha. I would put it probably, if you look at actual either loosely organized or officially organized groups, I'd probably say anywhere from 100 to 200, I would imagine, if not more. But you got to remember there's a lot of hybrid groups that have come about too. You may have a property crime group or a drug group that may collaborate closely with a street gang because either they have connections with each other via their family or personally, or they've found a way to both make positive inroads in their goals by collaborating. I will tell you this, that's one of the reasons, Fletcher, why we recently implemented an intelligence analyst under Captain Sellers Criminal Investigative Bureau. That's a civilian job that works with the analysts with the Omaha Police Department and other agencies to make sure that we are all up to speed on that critical intel to help guide our street-level professionals in the right areas. Yes, Colleen. So the question was, first it was a statement followed by a question, that the belief is that crime is down in the Omaha metro area other than juvenile crime. And then the question was, what am I doing in order to address the juvenile crime challenge? You know, I think the good news is, yes, it's clear, violent crime, the Omaha Police Department in large part, and we're always doing our part to assist, again, are very adept at reducing violent crime. There's probably not another big city police department in the nation. They're very fortunate. We're fortunate to have my peer, Chief Todd Schmatter. He has really innovated the approach to violence reduction through community collaboration and very unique investigative efforts. He's definitely a model to be studied across the nation. So, but the benefit that we do have in terms of reduced violence, we are facing challenges when it comes to property crimes. And I think especially if you look in unincorporated Douglas County, and I believe in Omaha as well, the number of auto thefts have skyrocketed. Auto thefts are often associated with violent crimes. It's a regularity to see gang members using stolen cars for drive-by shootings, robberies, homicides. A lot of those are juvenile-connected crimes, that's for sure. So what am I doing? Again, that's back to the value of a sheriff. I've made it clear that because of my experience with the Omaha Police Department as a gang investigator, as a gang supervisor, as someone who's actually also been involved in mentoring young gang members out of a life of crime and into a life as a skilled tradesman or woman, I understand the challenges that many of these families are facing with these cycles of poverty. And I've made it clear that I think that many of the public policies that we've seen on certain juvenile justice reforms, while admittedly well-intended and done with a good heart, have had consequences contrary to the stated goal. And so speaking publicly as sheriff, both to our state legislators, to our county board, to our local elected officials on the city level, and to the public about those real challenges, I think is important. You notice we have the Juvenile Justice Center, which is not open yet. I was very vocal that had the traditional DCYC with a capacity of 132 closed, And had we been left only to use a 64-bed downsized juvenile justice center, we would have been in big trouble. It would have resulted in safety challenges for this community for years to come. And luckily, that robust conversation between me, county board members, people in the public, I think we saw the end result. Our very wise county board members are taking a pause and trying to determine what that best outcome should look like at the end of the day. Nobody wants to see a juvenile detained, but I think we all know, especially those of us that have worked with challenged youth, that sometimes that may be the safest place for them until we can find a safe, secure alternative to detention to place them in order to help give them the rehabilitation that they need. Yes, sir. Great question. Sheriff's Department's role in fighting human trafficking. We do have a dedicated detective, an investigator, which specializes in human trafficking. We actually have multiple investigators that are either full-time dedicated or part-time dedicated to human trafficking investigation. Many of those are task force officer status with various federal partners and task forces that focus on human trafficking. One thing that we know to be true about human trafficking in America, anybody seen that movie Sound of Freedom? That was a movie about human trafficking of juveniles in another country. A lot of times when people think about human trafficking of our teens, you think about kids chained up in a storage container being shipped across the country. That is not human trafficking in America, at least in large part. Human trafficking in America is much more subdued and usually focuses on system-involved youth. 80% of juveniles that are human trafficked in the United States are connected to either the foster care system or our juvenile justice system in some way. Those are those vulnerable youth that when they run away, one day on the run is never free. There's always a price to be paid for sleeping on a couch or eating a meal. And unfortunately, that price is too often traumatizing sex with adults. And that's a lot of the human trafficking cycle that we don't see here locally. And so we do have specialized investigators focused on identifying those kids, the offenders, and also those high-risk situations. In addition, our investigators are always trying to intercept adults who are trying to locate juveniles for the purposes of sex for money or sex with a juvenile. And they do a really good job at it. Yes, sir. So we do have a program very similar to that. It's called our Explorer Program. So our Explorer Program is a year-long program. Well, when I say year-long, I mean through the school year, where we will take anywhere from 30 to 35 high school-age youth. They'll enter into the Explorer Program. It's an effort by the Boy Scouts of America, Nebraska Council. And they will come to the sheriff's office once every 2 weeks after school. We set them up with a uniform, and every 2 weeks we expose them to a new area of law enforcement, whether it be forensics, criminal investigation, traffic stops, case law, search and seizure, use of force, arrests. And it's a very popular program. And that pays off dividends because not only are you exposing high school age youth to law enforcement and building that trust, but you are cultivating potentially that next generation of deputies or officers. We've had great results having these youth many times become deputies. I think we have about three of them now. Many of them volunteer with the Explorer program who do that. We also have our school resource officer program, where any junior high, almost every junior high, and definitely high school in unincorporated Douglas County, of all school districts, Millard, Bennington, Elkhorn, Omaha, we have a full-time school resource officer deputy assigned to those schools. And their role is to be a protector, a teacher, and a coach. And again, it's nice to have them embedded with that student culture, building those relationships and that trust. I'm going off anecdotal information, just based generally what I know about many of these investigations, but I think that it is not uncommon for many of our cartel-connected targets to not be in the country legally, the drug groups. Some are. Obviously, the cartels aren't dumb. They do want to have some citizens that they can use for their organization. But it is not uncommon, especially in the leadership roles or the mid-level management roles, for those targets to be of undocumented status. One thing that does complicate it is that in Nebraska, if you are contacted by law enforcement in an arrest or citation, and you do not have a driver's license or an ID, that when you are booked or cited, the state of Nebraska will issue you an administrative ID number, which is is identical to the alphanumeric that you will get on a driver's license or ID. And so it becomes challenging when you're navigating the secondary, tertiary contacts with those individuals, and it would appear that they have a Nebraska ID number. They do, but it's an administrative number. It makes it difficult to figure out who is here in a documented versus undocumented status. I can tell you in my fugitive unit days, it was a constant challenge with felony fugitives. We had a lot of sexual assault fugitives that we would go after who did have undocumented status, would receive a bond that they would pay and leave the country, and we'd have a very difficult time finding them, if ever. Yes, sir.
Real quick.
Yeah. No, so if you look at your driver's license, you're gonna have a number. It's gonna be an alphanumeric, like a letter, followed by I think seven numbers after that. And it makes sense. I understand why the state of Nebraska does it. You want to be able to verify that this person corresponds to this ID number constantly for purposes of memorialization on the state level, because immigration is not a state level issue, it's a federal level issue. But you can imagine that when you arrest somebody down the road for a serious charge and the judge or the prosecutor looks at it and says, oh, they have a Nebraska ID number, that can give a false sense of security as to somebody's legality of presence in the nation. It could impact their bond amount or other things. So, yes, sir.
Could father groups get together, and it's like a fire watch. You just sit in the car, and if someone comes walking up, you get the hotline, which is 911, to let it be known. Is that legal to do if it's just done on a volunteer basis through and you talk to the administrators and whatnot?
Sure. A couple questions there. So first of all, when it comes to our SROs, they are primarily going to be positioned in the school in a place where they can have immediate vantage point to the front door. And they will be equipped with all the tools of the trade that they would need in order to quickly and effectively repel an armed, assaultive individual who would come into the school, as well as they can on their own, which is not optimal, especially with your military background. That's a high bar, but they're trained and equipped to do the best they can until backup can arrive. We also try to do a really good job of positioning their cruisers in an area out front which is very readily visible. That in and of itself can be a deterrent. If an attacker is driving through the lot and sees that cruiser, they may just continue on by. In terms of the time of day that these assaults happen, it can happen any time of day. I don't know that I'm not privy to data that shows what time of day that they occur. But I do know that our special operations group, the hours that they work, which is typically evening, it's so effective that we are working right now to expand that effort into the day shift hours as well. And hopefully 24/7, so that we will have that rapid deployment entity trained, specialized, specially equipped, specially armed group of operators in order to meet the needs around the clock. Yes, ma'am. Hi. Yeah, good to see you. Sure. Well, when it comes to election issues, anything that touches a county office, and the election commissioner is a county office, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office will be the primary criminal investigator, whether it's an allegation of election impropriety, whether it's an allegation of threats against an election official. My office will be the primary office to investigate any of those allegations or crimes. We do have an investigator who is assigned specifically to be in charge of county type crimes. And so we do expect them to have some more specialized knowledge when it comes to those crimes. Actually, Captain Sellers just disseminated some updated information here recently from the Major County Sheriff's Association on election crime and election security issues that he's disseminating to those county investigators. But when it comes to threat management, we also have a threat management unit within the sheriff's office. That will be the investigators that will have the tip of the spear responsibility on threats against judges, threats against elected officials, maybe threats in general. Maybe we are aware of an individual in the county who may articulate things that cause concern, either bringing harm to themselves or to others. That team is responsible for being aware of those actors and being able to decide. I think Chief Nemock put it best, if they're howlers or prowlers, if they're just howling or if they're actually prowling. So physical versus just, being vocal. We are going to remodel the Court Services Bureau to create a court operations group similar to our special operations group. This will be a specialized working group within Court Services Bureau that can be that flexible working group to meet those higher risk security needs, move to make sure we're keeping our judges safe, follow up better with a threat management unit on threats against judges or other officials in the courthouse or city county building. So As we speak, to your point, we are adapting because we know the need is there as well. If you have information about those trends across the nation or other best practices, we'd love to have that conversation with Aaron.
I had one quick question.
Yes, Mike. It is a challenge, and as we try to work to reorganize the agency, as we pull old working groups apart and put them back together to try to force multiply their efforts to meet the needs of other bureaus, we want all three of our bureaus to help complement each other in their efforts and to help complement the community and our other law enforcement area partners. But that the retention piece is a challenge. Now, luckily, we've had some good news. I think for the first time in a long time, we were on the razor's edge of losing one of our best and brightest young deputies to a federal agency. And we thought he was gone, but he stayed. We believe he stayed because of the culture that we're creating. Rebranding the relevancy of the sheriff's office and making sure that people know the value of the sheriff's office, not only within the four corners of our organization, but the value to the community as a whole, the value to the bench, the value to our partners in law enforcement. But it's a difficult reality. For every seven new deputies we hire, we may lose three to retirement or four. And so that can throw a stick in the bike spokes of growth. We are working with the county board right now to try to find some innovative ways to promote retention. We've got a lot of our most senior deputies that are retirement eligible or closely approaching retirement eligibility, and we want to find innovative ways to keep them for another 3, 4, or 5 years to give us that strategic planning ability to keep hiring new deputies. Let those seasoned deputies help train them, and then hopefully get back into a more natural cadence of retirements and replacements. The other thing we're doing, which we've had a lot of success with, is our lateral recruitment process. We've had much success in attracting away officers from other agencies, and these are some very talented officers, now deputies, and we're having great success with that. In large part because of our good cooperative relationship with our FOP, which is our collective bargaining unit. They've made some of those abilities easier. So we appreciate that team effort. Well, luckily we try to focus on the agencies that are not within our area. We have had the ability to grab some high-value lateral deputies who have left on their own accord from other agencies before they came to us, and we hope to continue that. We want to be aggressive. We want to go to some of these communities that do not value law enforcement as much as we do. Maybe Minneapolis, maybe Chicago, maybe Memphis. They have great law enforcement professionals there. They have diverse law enforcement professionals there. We think we have a lot to offer in Douglas County and Omaha, and we're going to work very hard to attract that top talent to help grow our agency and our community. Yeah, so that's a great question. The way that the checks and balances of county government works is office holders like myself and Don Klein, the county attorney, Tom Riley, the public defender. We have autonomy over our agency. But our budgets are directed by the county board. It's that very healthy, natural checks and balances system where the county board does not have autonomy over the sheriff's office, but they do have power of the purse over our budget. Why is that important to know? It's important that people keep in touch not only with their sheriffs, but with their county boards. Make sure you're constantly articulating and communicating to your county board commissioners the value that you place on public safety. Make sure you articulate to them the value to you and your family of maintaining a safe community. That helps them prioritize their budgetary choices. And I think that is also that healthy checks and balances that occurs where the public is communicating with the county board about what they value most when it comes to those basic local government services. For me, it's good schools, it's safe communities, and it's good roads. All of those make safer environments for families and a better business environment. So to whatever extent you can communicate that to your elected officials, that's always helpful. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, folks.
All right, we'll quickly wrap this up so we can get back to the Creighton game, right? See what the score is. Anyway, I want to remind everybody that this is going to be replayed on KIOS 91.5, 6 a.m. on Saturday, right?
Last Saturday.
So when you take the command staff out for that run on Saturday morning, you just have your ear pods in and you can listen. Oh, it's yoga. Okay. You listen to it. And then our next educational committee forum is going to be with Project Harmony, and the date is April 18th. So hopefully I'll come back and feel free to walk around and take in these views. Thank you very much, Sheriff.
You've been listening to The Weekend Forum, a production of KIOS News. Today's program was presented by the Omaha Press Club. This episode was produced by Joshua LeBure. You can hear this episode again at our website, kios.org, and you can find more information about the Omaha Press Club's noon educational forums at omahapressclub.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for the next Weekend Forum. To conclude this hour, here's a presentation of ambient music from our show Ambiology, where Topher Booth and myself explore modern ambient and experimental music. Sundays at midnight here on KIOS. Thank you.
Thank you.